The light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, but we had this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Praise God. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. But the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. That's some good reading, isn't it?
Man.
So death worketh in us, but life in you. Let's go over here in Jeremiah now. Now, there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when he said we have this treasure in earthen vessels, he wasn't boasting. That ain't nothing to brag about. That is a hindrance. That's painful. That is a disadvantage. Not that we have the treasure, but that we have the earthen vessel. All right? Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my word. Then I went down to the potter's house to hold a rock and work on the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. I heard a sermon one time, made, marred, mended. I ain't going to preach that one tonight, but that's a good one. But he said the clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So what did he do? He made again another vessel. So seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. In Jeremiah 19, the Bible said, thus saith the Lord, go get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people, of the ancients of the priests, and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the word that I shall tell thee. Now, what God was telling Jeremiah to do was go and get an earthen bottle and take it out in front of the whole congregation of the children of Israel. And I'm not going to take time to read it all, but I'll tell you what it says. He goes in front of these people, and God told him to take it down there and break the bottle in their presence. And to tell them that just like that bottle was broken, God is going to break you. Now that's the message that God gave to him. He took an earthen bottle and he took it in front of the whole congregation. And he, in verse 10 tells it, then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shall say to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. Cannot be made whole again. In Jeremiah 18:3, I see a vessel that is in the potter's hands that is marred. It's no good. It's flawed. In order to remake that vessel, you know what the potter has to do to it? He's going to have to break it. He's going to have to completely destroy it and put it back on the wheel again. Now, I'd like to preach a little while tonight, and I know you're tired. I can tell you are. So I'm not going to ask you to help me too much, but do help me what you can. And I'd like to preach tonight a little while on the breaking of the vessel. If I could. The Lord gave me this message a while back when I was in the valley. You know, you can do some things in the valley.
Yeah.
I don't like the valley. I like that mountaintop experience. I like that better. But it was in the valley that David chose five smooth stones to kill the giant. Amen?
Nice.
Amen. It was in the valley that he picked up the substance he needed to kill the giant over on the hilltop.
Hallelujah.
Bless him now.
When you're in the valley, don't be discouraged. I know it's hard. It's dark there. But when you're in the valley, just look around you and see if you can't pick up something that could be of use to you on the mountaintop. I get sermons in the valley, and I give them to other people on the mountaintop, and it helps them, Brother Luke.
Right.
I got this message in the valley a few months back when I was going through the worst time of my life, the lowest, darkest valley, and I think I'll preach it to you tonight and see what you can do with the sermon from the valley. See if it'll help you any at all. God dealt with me. And he told me, as he did Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house. And I want you to look at this vessel that I have here. And when that vessel's not perfect, when that vessel is marred, you look and see what the potter has to do to that vessel in order to get it in shape to be used. He must break that vessel. Now remember what I read to you. 2 Corinthians 4:7. The Bible said we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and we must have that death in our bodies every day. Why? So that the Son of God can be manifested in our bodies. You say it won't happen till I get my glorified body. The Bible says, in your mortal bodies.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm going to preach to you a secret tonight. That won't be a secret to some of you, but to others it will. You wonder why tonight that you don't win your loved ones to God? The Lord give me this in the valley. It's because they see more of you than they do of Jesus. If they see Jesus, they'll be saved without a doubt. But if they see you, you will not influence, you will not deliver, you will not save. But if they can see Christ in your mortal body, then they'll be converted. I guarantee it.
Amen.
Help me a while.
Hallelujah.
The Lord has really burdened me now to preach. And I'd love to preach to you, if God will help me, on the breaking of the vessel.
Oh, God.
He said you've got a treasure, and you've got it in an earthen vessel. But until that old body, that old man, that old vessel, until it is broken down, until it surrenders, until it submits unto the will of God, nobody will ever see Christ in you.
Come on.
God dealt with me.
And he said, the reason more of your wife's family's not saved, the reason more of your family's not saved, they're seeing too much of Randy and not enough of Jesus.
Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord.
What I'd like to preach tonight is that God is going to have to break this vessel, that the treasure will shine, that Christ will be manifested in our life, and we must be willing for God to break us down.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Jesus.
Did you ever wonder why that God took Abraham and said, Abraham, take your son up to the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice? Think about it. I'm going to preach sober to you tonight. I want you to listen to me. I want you to consider what I'm saying.
Come on.
He said, Abraham, get into the mountain. Take Isaac. Offer him on the altar. Get him up. Lay him down. Oh, Abraham's only son, dear Isaac, the one he waited for, the one in his old age, the promised child. Oh, you that's got a little boy, Brother Bobby, a little boy. When I see him, I look out the window and I see him, I smile to myself. Oh, just something down inside there turns over. I see that little feller running around, pulling his britches up, and running barefoot through the mud, and getting into everything that's able to get into. That's just the way they are. Oh, but a love in my heart for my son. And what in the world? I see Abraham as he watches Isaac run around his feet and say, that's the promised child. That's my son. And I watch him as he fluffs his hair and plays with him. And Isaac probably crawled up on his shoulders and wanted to ride piggyback. And Abraham probably followed with him and played with him. May even took him fishing, I don't know. But it was his boy, his only boy. It was the apple of his eye. But one day God came, and God knocked on Abraham's heart. And he said, I want you to offer him. What? Why did he want his only son? Abraham probably cried and wondered, why, my precious little boy, why must it be Isaac? Why don't he let me offer my best lamb in the whole herd? Why don't he let somebody else? Why, my only son? Why must it be? Oh, God, help us. I can see Abraham as he makes that long journey to the mountain. You think he walked up there, straight and erect, and said, I'm going to offer my son? No, 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 1,000 times no. It was a long journey, Brother Bob, that Abraham took to that mountain top. But notice what he said. He said, I and the lad go yonder and shall return. Oh, but he had that commission of God. And I imagine every step got a little heavier, a little harder to make. He kept thinking about the little boy running along the side of him. Where are we going, Daddy?
Oh,
we're going to the mountain, son. Oh, what are you doing to me, God? What are you doing to me here? He's my precious little baby. What are you doing? I'm breaking you, Abraham. I'm breaking you, son. I'm breaking you down. I'm breaking you. I'm going to separate you from everything in this world. I'm going to break you down. Will you trust me, Abraham?
Come on.
Help me now. Help me now. Oh, I see him as he builds the fire. He puts the wood on it. And he may have went as far as putting the lad down and was ready to stick the knife in. I can see a man bowed over, jerking, crying, weeping. Oh, but he give up to God. And he said, not my will, but thine be done, Lord. And he heard a noise in the bushes. And he turned around, and the voice that God has made himself a sacrifice. What was it that God wanted Abraham to do? He wanted him to break his own will, that God might be manifested in his life.
Yeah.
Bless him, Jesus. Amen.
Oh, did you ever wonder why God sent Moses into the backside of the desert for 40 long years keeping sheep down the backside, working 40 years? He never spoke to him and told him what to do. 40 years long. What was he doing? He was breaking him down that they might see the glory of God in him.
Oh, oh God.
To understand tonight what I'm preaching. 2 Corinthians says, oh, you've got a treasure tonight in an earthen vessel. Unless that earthen vessel is broken and broken into submission, it won't be any good. Oh, through the Bible. Why did God let Joseph be thrown down into the pit and sold into slavery and spend time in a penitentiary and let the woman lie on him, get him thrown in there? What are you doing to Joseph? I'm breaking him in that he might worship God, that he might submit to my will. Oh, friend tonight, you never get anywhere with God until you're broken down and you're willing for God to do anything in your life.
Bless him, Jesus.
Let's go to the book of Judges, chapter 7. Hallelujah. Praise Lord. Help me a little while. I'll get this message across to you. Judges chapter 7. I want you to listen to what God does here. The Lord said in verse 2, tell him to get in the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand hath saved me. He looked at Gideon's army and he said, Gideon, you've got too many people. You've got too much flesh for me to work in your life and get the glory. Can you hear
me? Let them all.
He said, Gideon, you're going to have to go down to the river. And I want you to bow down and make them drink. Well, first he said, anybody's afraid, go home. And that's going to clean the house out right off. So they took off back home. He said, who's ever fearful or afraid? Let him go back. And he went back. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that whom I say to thee, this shall go with thee. The same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say to thee, this shall not go with thee. The same shall not go. He brought them all to the water. What's God trying to do here? I hope you can see what I'm saying. You see, God looked and he said, if I work with all these men, they'll say, we did it on our own. If God works in you and you still in the flesh, you still carnal minded, you would say, look what I did. Look what I have accomplished. Oh, but if God can break you down, if God can humble you, and he will, if God can break you down and humble you, where you say, not my will but thine. And if God works through you, it'll be for the glory of God and nothing else. And they went down to the water. And those that lacked like a dog, the tongue gang they called them. Just the tongue gang went. He got them up and said, this is the number that lacked put in their hand to their mouth. 300 measly men.
Yep.
Here he was going against a mighty host of the Midianites. And sometimes the battle will seem like that God has just took away all your soldiers. Oh, God tells you to preach a little bit of holiness, and you run some of them off, and you begin to think, oh, I'm getting awful small. The crowd's getting smaller. How in the world can I keep going with such a small number? Oh, but let me tell you, God was amongst these 300, and he told them, it came to pass in verse 9, and I'm going to try to help you. It came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, said unto Gideon, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. Look at verse 10. It says, but if thou fear to go down, I like this. When I read this, it helped me. He said, but if thou fear to go down, go thou with Urah, thou servant, down to the host. Now, a lot of times when God begins to break us down, and it seems like the number's getting fewer, oh, God's got somebody that'll go with you. He said, if you're afraid, let Urah go down with you. He don't need for you to be out there all by yourself. But if you trust in the Lord, he'll have somebody to walk with you. He'll have somebody to go with you. I looked at this. I was going through a time, and I was trying to trust God. And I looked at this scripture, and I said, when I read it, I said, I wonder if old Gideon will get Gideon to go down with him. Well, he said, if you're afraid, get Gideon to go down. And before I read any further, I said, I wonder if Gideon will be afraid. I said, I wonder if you want Gideon to go or not. You see, I was going through a time, and I was afraid, and I wanted somebody to go with me. And I said, I wonder if old Gideon will want anybody with him. In this hour, you see, he told him to go down, and said, if you're afraid, get Gideon to go. And then the Bible said, in verse 11, then went he down with Gideon, his servant, unto the outside. That made me feel better when I looked at a mighty warrior like Gideon. And I'm not here to preach that if you trust God, all fear will be gone. When you lean upon God, the devil's going to be there to plague your mind and get you to doubt. And you'll be afraid. And you'll need to look around for somebody to lean a helping hand. I'm not saying you're not going to be afraid. There'll be fear there. But there is one there who will move all fear and all doubt away if you'll cast aside all fleshly arm and lean upon God.
Come on.
What was he doing to Gideon? He was scared.
Yeah.
Gideon was afraid. When you get sick, when you get discouraged, and you get afraid, that's not inhuman. That's not unholy. We're going to let be. David said, but what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. It ain't inhuman to be afraid. In the darkness, you'll be so unsure. You'll be afraid. And there'll be somebody that'll go with you. There'll be a servant. There'll be a hero there. And why don't you just take him by the hand and not be ashamed and say, go down with me. I'm afraid to go by myself.
Come on.
Bless the Lord.
Sometimes I believe that we get too proud to ask for help, to ask for somebody to come and pray for us. Oh, preach. There's been times that I've preached meetings and I've got down and just wish somebody would pray with me.
Hallelujah.
You think that's odd? That's the gospel truth.
Yeah.
There's been times that I've preached and knew I had to preach and preach and wish somebody would come and help pray me through.
Oh, come on.
Get afraid. I'll tell you what. You want to pray for your preachers?
Yeah.
Listen to me now. I know you're tired, but just lend the ear is all I'm asking. Just lend the ear. I want to tell you this tonight. This will help you more than anything I've preached if you listen. You hear me? It'll help you more than anything if you listen. There's times that I've been afraid. That it seemed like I could feel while I looked at the powers of darkness. I woke up at night. This went on for weeks. And I was going through it. But what God was doing, He was begging me. Not your will, but mine be done.
Yeah.
When God got through with me, I was saying, God, your will be done. Not mine.
Yeah.
Lay on my bed at night. I popped awake one night wide awake. And I heard footsteps coming down the hall. And something spoke to me and said, the enemy's coming. I prayed a little while and I dozed back off to sleep. I was afraid. I was trembling. A cold sweat broke out on me. And I finally dozed back to sleep. And I popped awake again. And I heard him coming. And a voice spoke to me and said, the enemy's coming. And he got closer. And I felt the power of darkness coming in my bedroom with my family in my house and my little children. And I fell out on my knees. I pleaded the blood. I pleaded the name of Jesus. And victory came. He left my house. Oh, that I was afraid. It's not insane to be afraid. But it is insane if you don't trust God. If you don't have a friend, somebody to go to, and to walk down to the tent and stand by your side.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, the devil will scare you to death, really, when you try to trust God. He will. And here, Gideon was afraid. And he went down with 300 men. Can you help me just a little longer? Pray just a little harder. Oh, thank God. And Gideon went down. And he walked down and he listened. And he heard them talking. And they talked about being defeated. And that rolling down through the camp and destroying them. And one man looked at the other and said, that's none other than Gideon and God's people. And Gideon went back and said, that's it. He told his servants, we've got the victory. 300 men against thousands. What did they do? I want you to listen. What did they do? He said, God told him what to do. He said, go get you some earthen pitchers. And put you a light inside that pitcher. Sweet Lord. And go get you a trumpet.
Come on.
And you get out there, and I want you to blow all that trumpet. I want you to shout the sword of the Lord and then. And then notice what he said, I want you to do. He said, I want you to break that picture and let the light shine. Now, you know what this whole lesson's about tonight? You know what the whole story God was trying to get across to the children of Israel and Gideon? It was that they weren't anything but an earthen vessel. And until they were broken and submitted to God, the light of God would never shine in their life. And that's what he's trying to tell you tonight. Unless you break the earthen vessel, the light of God will never shine in your heart.
Right.
Gideon went down there. 300 measly men. And God had already tried to teach him something. He said, send all your army back home. Take everything away. Get all the flesh away. Crucify all the flesh. And go down and get your earthen vessel and put a light in it. And when you break that vessel, that's when the victory will be won. And not until you break that vessel will God move for you.
Hallelujah!
That's why. That Jesus went down through the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. I studied on that and I looked it up in the medical book to see if it was possible. And Jesus when he prayed in the garden. They said it was possible for a man to get in such intense mental anguish that is, he would hemorrhage and his blood would come out the pores of his skin. Oh, yes. They said there was one incident where a young man was taken up to be on the chop block for his Christianity. And as he walked, history recorded, as he walked up that hill for the chop block, he cried blood. His tears was blood. His mental anguish, what the body was going through with, what the mind was going through with, mental torment, mental anguish. Oh, what was God doing to the man Jesus Christ in the garden? He was the man, God man, man, but God. And what God was trying to do was break down the man that was in his side, that he might go to Calvary and die for you and I.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah. In a dark garden that night, I see a lamb. I see a man. Who is I am he? I am the way. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I see God in the garden. But I see man in the garden. And I see Jesus Christ as he cries. He groans and he moans. When I went through this valley, and I tell this for the glory of God, mental anguish was so intense in my body that I would sit in a crowd of people and fall fast asleep. Exhausted, mentally drained. What was God doing? He was breaking down this man that God might dwell in him and be the light of his life. And until you have been broken, well, this old world will know no pain. Christian people will turn into dope addicts with all the pain. You hear me?
Yeah.
They don't want pain. Don't hurt me. Don't afflict me. No pain. Before the light will shine in your life, you have to be broken. Jesus prayed, and this is how he prayed. You never see the lost one in this church house in a great number until this church house is broken.
Amen.
And they walk through these doors, and instead of seeing Brother Luke and Brother Bob, they see Jesus.
Come on. Come on, man. That's the way it's
what did Paul preach? He didn't preach Paul. He preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed thrice it might be removed. The Lord just told him every time, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he went on. A broken man. I don't know what his affliction was, but it broke him. It broke him down so much that he said, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. For you to live to Christ, you must have this earthen vessel broken. Don't send me no sickness. Don't send me no pain. Don't send me no violence. Don't send me no hurt. Don't take my loved ones. Don't make us sick. Don't send me no valley. You won't be broken.
Right.
And God will not be afraid to manifest in your life. Jesus prayed in the garden until his sweat became his blood. And you know what his prayer was? Lord, let this cup pass from me. Lord, let this cup pass. God, I don't want to die. I don't want to face the nails. I don't want to face the hammer of those soldiers. I don't want to face the spear in him. I don't want to face the mockings. I'm a man. I'm a man. I don't want him to part my garments and laugh at me. God, he knew it. He knew prophecy. He knew they was going to cast lots for his clothes. He knew they was going to wag their heads and walk and make fun. Oh, I've seen Christian men who said, if he says that one more time, I know I'm saved and trying to live right, but I'll hit him right in the teeth. That man needs to be broken. A Christian man that Christ lives in their life will be like Christ. And when he was reviled, he reviled not again. Christ knew what was before him. And like you and I, he prayed, Lord, let this pass from me. But he kept on praying, and God kept on pounding on him. And he prayed through you, and he broken. And Corinthians quotes it like this. And he said, take, eat, for this is my body broken for you. He said, this is my body broken for you. Now prophecy tells us that there wasn't a bone broken in his body, his natural body. What was Christ talking about when he handed the disciples the bread and said, take and eat, this is my body broken for you. He meant that in that garden, when he prayed till his sweat became his blood, the will of man crumbled to the ground, and the will of God exalted itself on the throne, and God was made manifested in Christ. If Christ had not been broken in that garden, you and I would have been lost for eternity. But God let his son be broken, severed from the flesh, that he might walk up Calvary's hill and die for you and I. And unless we are broken down, the will of God will not be formed in our life. The breaking of the vessel. I didn't like it. Matter of fact, I thought I was going to die. And you will too. You think you can't make it. But when God gets through breaking, then Christ will be made manifest. The best revival I've ever had since I've been preaching. There was about 60 people saved. The greatest revival we've had in our part of the country in a long time. And I started that revival out. I preached two nights. And I was sick in the bed three nights in a row. And I got out of bed. I'm telling this to the glory of God. I got out of bed. The lowest in my life I'd ever been, Brother Bob. And I walked into the pulpit. And I was sick. Trying to trust God. And I'd get up there and tell it to the glory of God. No blowing my mind, and you hear me. And I leaned in the pulpit. And I preached till my body hurt from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And God would send his host into the altar. I didn't feel like studying up no fancy sermons. I just took my Bible and opened it up and read and said, God, I can't do a thing. I'm tired. I'm bound. I can't hardly lift my head, Lord. You're going to have to help me. One night, there was 11 people got saved. One night. The drunkards came. The bartenders. The prostitutes came. Until you shed tears. Until you get ready to say, not my will, but thine. God will not reign in your life. You say, well, I'm in the flesh. He said, Christ will be manifested in this mortal body. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 3. I'm going to preach to you tonight. You want revival? You think the preacher has been dry lately? You wonder and you think he might ought to get another preacher that can preach a little fancier, a little flashier? I'm going to preach to you what God told me to tell you. You know what's wrong with the church world? It's not the preaching. We've got the best preachers that ever walked on the face of God's earth. You hear me?
Yeah.
But the Bible said to break up the fallow ground.
Yeah.
The reason that there's nothing more done, and you listen to me, is because the seed goes out and falls upon your hard heart and is none effect. You must break up that fallow ground and let the seed of God take root.
Yeah.
And until you're broken up, then you'll never have the works of God, the fruit of God, manifested in your life. Break up the fallow ground. Do it now. and let the word of God, if you'll go home tomorrow and you'll skip a meal and you'll pray an hour, you come back to church, I won't have to say too much to you. You'll feel like shouting.
Right.
You don't believe me? Try it.
Come on.
Try it.
Come on. Come on.
When you pray, and I mean pray, when you pray, you begin to weep. You begin to sob. You begin to forgive. You begin to let go. You begin to lay down the old man and break that foul ground up until God can do something with you. I'm preaching what you need tonight.
Yeah, come on.
The break of the vessel. We're so tender. We're so sissy. We can't take nothing. You know why the Bible said when Zion travails, she bring us forth. When Zion travails. You know what travailing is? You women never had children, you know what travailing is. You know how you have children? I don't care how fancy they get with medication, you're going to suffer. You're going to travail to bring forth children. If the church tonight brings forth new children, it won't be hallelujah coming to church on Sunday, sitting down, listen to the preaching, get up and go home, lay down, take your nap, get up just in time for church, go back to church, sit and dry, listen to the service, go back to the house, go to bed. You're going to have to suffer if you win the lost in this hour. You're going to have to pay for it. You're going to have to be broken if you get anything from God in this hour. Come and get us a song tonight.
Amen.
The breaking of the vessel. Broken. Gideon took those vessels and broke them, that the light would shine. Those Midianites saw those lights and heard those trumpets and fled for their life. If we can trust God and break this old vessel and let the light shine. Ye are the light of the world.
Yeah.
A city set on a hill. He said, you don't put your light under the bed. You don't put it under a bushel. You should put it out on a candlestick for all the world to see. You've got that treasure in this earthen vessel tonight. And it's up to you to allow God to break it, that Jesus might be seen in your life. I guarantee you, there's a lot of preachers that aren't, I know, and I've met over the years. And outside, in the carnal sense, they're not accepted at all. They don't have fancy clothes. They don't ride a fancy car. They don't sing real fancy in them. It just seems like their ministries can't be to a lot of people. They don't get preached very many places. But these people, these men who have trusted God for the years and would rather die, go to a doctor. These men are shunned in this hour. Among our ranks, they're shunned. But these men who have blazed a trail and got a little simple message, but they have broken themselves down and they win the lost because men can see Jesus in their life rather than men. And until we get to that point where we allow God to break this old vessel, I got to praying in that valley, Brother Luke. And I got to saying, take me, Lord. Break me, Lord. Whatever it takes. I want to make it with you. So break me if you have to, that you might be seen. And that's when God Holy in the Word. Personalities will have to die. Character will have to be put away. The outside will have to spell Jesus rather than your name. Are you willing tonight? Can you say, take me? And break me? And let me. That's what the potter did to the vessel that was marred. Marred. Too much flesh. Take me, Lord. And break me, Lord. And make me. I read where they broke this earthen vessel that couldn't be put back together. I don't want to wait that long, you. I've seen a few break that never was able to get yourself together again. But I love tonight, while I'm still in the hands of the potter. Notice it says, while the vessel was still in the hands of the potter. While I'm still in his hands, while you're still in his hands, let him break you. Let him make you over again. Sing for us tonight. To think it over tonight. Are you willing to pay the price? Can you say, Lord, I want to win the lost at any cost? Can you do it? Can you do it? If God spoke to you tonight and said, take your son to the mountain. He won't blood, the sacrifice has already been made. It's completed. But I hope you can look tonight and see that there's other things in your life that you need to crucify. There's other things. The Bible said when Jesus was crucified and he said it is finished, that the veil temple was written between from top to bottom. You know what that means? That means that we can walk directly into the presence of God. Nothing between us. If you don't feel his presence tonight, if you can't feel him, then there's something between you and him. We need to rent that veil in between from top to bottom. It's already been rent, the veil has, but there's something else came between you and God. Now to rip it out of the way might hurt you. Yeah. It's not going to be easy. But why don't you reach in that heart tonight and grab whatever that is holding you back and rip it out of the way and walk on into the presence of God. It's for you tonight. You can have it if you're willing to pay the price. Joseph had to do it. Moses had to do it. Abraham did it. David had to do it. And keep the sheep as a little boy all alone. God brought him down and humbled him. And he'll have to humble you before he can use you.
Thank you.
Somebody tonight needs to come to an altar.
Thank you, Jesus.
And rip that veil away.
Yeah.
And walk into the presence of God. Come on. Come on. Can you say whatever it takes? Lord, whatever it takes. All right. Come on. Don't lie to yourself now. Come and do it. There's others. This message will help you more than any of you think. God will have to break you. You'll have to cry. You'll have to be sorry. You'll have to let this old man die and let God reign in your heart. Let God have reign in your heart. Come and do it tonight. God, break me. Let me shed tears for the lost. Let me be broken for the lost. Break me, God, that they might see you and glorify you. Do it, God, tonight for us. Jesus, and break these hard hearts and let them flow. Let them flow. Every soul that we want to pray and ask God to help us tonight. Pray with those around you that need help. Pray for your brothers and your sisters. Jesus.